You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Friday to you. We've got a lot to get to today on our podcast. Anthony Christensen is in Lexington, where Arkansas and Kentucky are going to get underway tomorrow in the return of John Calipari at Rupp Arena. We'll talk to Anthony here in just a minute about what he's seeing there on the ground in Kentucky. A little bit later in the podcast, we're going to replay our Q&A from yesterday's Hogs Illustrated Sports Club with Bubba Carpenter. Bubba and I are going to talk Razorback baseball, kind of a little preview to whenever Bubba joins our podcast like he does every baseball season. That's coming up here in a couple of weeks. He'll be on the here in studio with me, but we'll have that Q&A from the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club at the end of our show. But first, we're going to go to Anthony in Lexington, Arkansas, and Kentucky. 8 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night on ESPN. Carl Ravitch, Jimmy Dykes, Alyssa Lang will be on the call. Anthony, you've been there for a day now. Just kind of paint the picture for us there in Lexington.
Well, it's rainy. Well, it's not rainy right now, but it was rainy yesterday. Cloudy. But no, I mean, people are excited. I mean, obviously, Kentucky's having a great season. Mark Pope's done a really, really nice job with that team. He's in the National Coach of the Year conversation. So people are really excited about that. And then this game coming up obviously has the added incentive of or added excitement, I guess I should say, of, you know, John Calipari coming back, but also, I guess, Adu Thiro and Zvonimir Visich and DJ Wagner as well. So there are people excited about that. You know, it's probably more hyped than, you know, a team ranked 12th in the AP poll going up against a team that's 1-6 in league play typically would be, probably, just because of those factors. But it's exciting. I mean, you can tell just by walking around, people are looking forward to the game. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing a bunch of people in Kentucky blue or Kentucky merchandise or anything like that. I mean, you can't drive anywhere without seeing a Kentucky flag or a bumper sticker or anything like that. But, yeah, people are excited. It should be a really good environment for the game. You know, the last time I was at Rupp Arena, it was 3 days after Christmas. Students weren't on campus, and it was covering Kentucky against a, frankly, bad Mizzou team. So I'm excited to see, you know, Rupp Arena, you know, at its best, because I haven't gotten that opportunity yet. And, yeah, but people are excited, and you can definitely tell just by, you know, walking around and talking to people, like I did in that story you had mentioned, which, yeah.
You know, when this game was first announced last summer, the thought was this was going to be the game of the year. I mean, this was going to be the most anticipated game of the year. And yeah, because Arkansas started off SEC play so poorly, it's not even anywhere near the game of the day. I mean, there are so many good college basketball games this weekend, whether it be, you know, in the SEC. I'm looking at some of them right now. You got Tennessee and Florida on Saturday morning. You got Missouri and Mississippi State. That's a sneaky good matchup. Auburn and Ole Miss are playing. You've got, you know, you go out of conference and you've got KU Baylor, which is an interesting game. You've got Texas Tech Houston and UConn Marquette, and game day is going to be at Duke and North Carolina. And all of a sudden, it's like Arkansas and Kentucky and Calipari's return. Too. Yeah, and it's like the return is, it's weird. It's not the national story that we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I think, you know, obviously that comes down to Arkansas just struggling as much as it has in SEC play. You know, a 1-6 start is not going to get, you know, a ton of people really excited about watching that basketball team, especially when arguably its best player is injured in Boogie Fland. So I think that, you know, those are the big contributing factors. But I think just walking around here in Lexington, and, you know, if anybody is more experienced in Kentucky basketball, like, fields than I do, you know, they can, you know, chime in, and I'd be happy to listen. But I mean, you can tell people are excited for it, I think. You know, even though it's not the, you know, top 25 matchup maybe we expected it would be in at the start of the season, you know, people are still looking forward to this game, I think, just because, I mean, you know, when somebody is, you know, in a place for 15 years and they come back, it's always going to be a storyline. You know, I was talking to John Calipari's former priest yesterday, and he said, well, they move us priests after 12 years, because after 12 years, I mean, how much more can you say to the same people? But you know, 15 years, you know, I guess maybe it was time for the move or something. He said something along those lines, and it's kind of a fun conversation, but not to continuously to sh- not not to continuously shamelessly plug the story I wrote, but you know, it's still going to be a fun environment, I think, even though it's not, you know, the marquee matchup between two top 25 teams that maybe it was anticipated to be at the start of the season.
I think Eddie Sutton used to say that coaches needed to transfer about every 8 to 10 years. You know, I mean, Calipari, the last 5 years at Kentucky, they weren't nearly as good as the first 10. You think about Nolan Richardson at Arkansas, the last several years at Arkansas, they weren't like the first decade that he was there. And there are so many different examples of this. There are coaches who have longevity, who have had success across several, or multiple decades. But for every one of those coaches, there are a number of coaches who have had a really, great stretch of teams, and then it didn't go well at the end. It's kind of interesting. Rick Pitino, he had some thoughts yesterday. He said that he thinks the Kentucky fans need to stand up and give John Calipari a standing ovation when he comes into the arena tomorrow. Of course, Pitino, he's got his own experience going back to Rupp Arena. Went there several times with Louisville after he took that job, after leaving Kentucky to go to the NBA. I remember the first time he went back, a sign said Benedict Rick, and so they weren't real happy, with him. And so he's been through this, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Pitino, who he and Calipari, they've had their differences in the past, but here he is, kind of unsolicitedly offering his advice to Kentucky fans about how they ought to treat Cal.
Yeah, Rick Pitino, the Pitino, I guess, dynamic, if you will, is kind of interesting because, like, he showed up at Big Blue Madness in the preseason, and I mean, he's Rick Pitino; he gets to do what he wants, I guess. But I mean, he still has his own team that he's coaching, so I always found that kind of funny. I like that he's still engaged and involved, and pays attention to the places that he previously coached and had success at. It's just kind of an interesting thing that you don't really see a lot, I guess, from other coaches. But, he's Rick Pitino. He's one of the winningest coaches of all time. So I guess he gets to do what he wants. And that's no hate to Rick Pitino. I just find it interesting. But it'll be an interesting reception for sure. I was listening to my buddy Zach on the show yesterday, saying that he thinks it's probably going to be more boos than cheers. And, I probably would agree with him on that. I mean, not only because he's on the ground in Lexington a lot more than I am, but I guess just kind of sentiments and everything that goes along with that. But I think you are going to get kind of a mixed reaction just because, I mean, a guy is at a place for 15 years, wins a national championship, and, makes however many Final Fours. I think it was four. People are going to, I guess, appreciate that. And I think, obviously coming back, there will be the people there who, will cheer, I guess, maybe. I think it'll be a mixed reaction, but, like Zach had said yesterday, I think there will be a time, in the future, maybe after Calipari retires or something like that, he'll come back to Rupp Arena, he'll get his name in the Raptors, and that'll be, the big, cheerful, exciting reunion that I think people will embrace whenever that time comes.
Well, Calipari himself, he said that his friends who are attending the game, they're going to be wearing blue. He said he just hopes they're wearing red socks at the game. You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Razorback sports analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. You can subscribe today at wholehogsports.com on our website right now. We've got previews of all these different events going on this weekend. Obviously, Arkansas, Kentucky takes the cake, but there's a big track meet over at Randall Tyson Track Center this weekend. Lots of SEC teams coming in for it. Oregon, obviously, a great track program. They're coming as well. Razorback Invitational starts this afternoon. It'll continue tomorrow here in Fayetteville. The gymnastics team is in Norman this week to take on the top-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. So a lot going on here around Fayetteville and at least for the teams around campus. You can read all about that at our website, wholehogsports.com. Anthony, Kentucky, they're going to be 4 days removed from beating Tennessee on the road. when they play this game Saturday. I wonder, do you think that helps Arkansas, the fact that maybe Tennessee or that Kentucky could potentially come in maybe a little, I don't know, cocky, full of itself?
Yeah, maybe. There are times where that happens, but I think we had the same conversation going into the Missouri game, right? Because Missouri was coming off the big Florida road win in Florida. Yeah. So I think there are points in time where that is a factor. I think, you know, it's a possibility, sure. But I think given the gravity kind of surrounding this game and just kind of how excited people are, you know, to watch it and kind of be around it here in Lexington, like this has nothing to do with it, but I just kind of saw Kirk Creasa walking around yesterday. I know he maybe not won't play, but just kind of interesting just to see people walking around and everybody in their Kentucky blue. But I think the excitement factor around a game like this maybe overshadows maybe the emotional win that you get on the road against a really good Tennessee team. But yeah, I think that's the big thing is I think that it's this game isn't one that is going to be overshadowed just because of how much, people have hyped it for as long as they have. And even though it's not as marquee of a matchup as originally thought, people have still had this one circled for a long time. So I don't think that the Tennessee game is going to be a factor, when the teams line up tomorrow, no.
What do you think the key is for Arkansas to be competitive in this game and give itself a chance to win? Because there have been so many – I don't know how to say it. There have been some games this year where you knew halfway through the second half, if not even earlier, they weren't going to win that game. They weren't going to give themselves a chance at the end. And then there have been some games where obviously – you get to that 4-minute timeout, and you know that this one's going to come down to the wire, and Arkansas just hasn't made the plays in most of them, at least against the good teams they played. Like if they can get to the 4-minute mark and have a chance to win this game, what's it going to have taken over the first 36 to get there?
I don't think they can let this game be a shootout. I don't think Arkansas has the shooters to make it a shootout. Unless John L. Davis refines his Florida Atlantic form. I don't think Arkansas has the shooters to make it a shootout like Kentucky has been in against, Florida or against Alabama. I think that's what Kentucky's going to try to do is make it a shootout, make it a fast-paced game, then try to see if Arkansas can keep up. I think that's the thing that, I think Kentucky's going to try to do. And not just, from the three-point line. I mean, Kentucky's been an excellent cutting team, an excellent driving team, and everything along those lines. But I think the biggest thing is, Arkansas can't allow this game to become a shootout because I think that's where it might get away from them. And I think you're going to have to see Arkansas kind of play it like it did against Florida, especially, I guess, that the first bit where, they kind of mucky it up and kind of make it a little bit of a like we've mentioned, you kind of have to win ugly, right? So it's I think that's the biggest key to it. You can't let Kentucky make it. You can't let Kentucky dictate the game, I guess is the best way to put it. You can't let Kentucky make it a shootout because more often than not, if it's a shootout, Kentucky is going to win, except I guess that Alabama game. But yeah, you can't make it a shootout is the biggest thing I think I kind of look at going into it.
Anthony, appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right. You can read Anthony Christensen's coverage from Lexington at our website, wholehogsports.com, throughout the weekend. I want to tell you, you can stay on top of all Razorback sports with a digital subscription to the Hogs Illustrated app. It gives you access to HI Magazine with 20-plus issues, plus complete access to our website at wholehogsports.com. That includes breaking news, commentaries, analysis, recruiting, photos, premium message boards. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. You can join now at hogsillustrated.com/subscribe. Or call 479-684-5509 to get your copy of Hogs Illustrated. We've talked about this on our podcast a few times here in the last week or two, that we have now sent our Hogs Illustrated baseball preview off to the printer. We think we'll get that next week, and you're going to want to get this. This has got analysis from all the coaches on the different players and some features, just stuff you're not going to find anywhere else in our HI baseball preview. Again, 479-684-5509. Or hogsillustrated.com NFL.com/subscribe. When we come back, Rick Saratella will join us from NFL Draft Bible to talk about these Razorbacks and their pro football hopes. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, and versatile. If you are looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. Teased yesterday that we were going to have Rick Saratella on our show today to talk about the Razorbacks and these All-Star games. A little bit of a scheduling conflict. He's not able to join us today. Hope that we can reschedule that on down the line. We'll get to this Bubba Carpenter interview at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club here in just a moment. But, you know, in all this talk about Razorback Foundation and NIL, I found this email that I got yesterday rather humorous. This was from the University of Arkansas, but not from anyone associated with athletics. This is just from the U of A. And it says, "Hi, I'm Maple, a squirrel of Old Main Lawn, and I'm writing you with a rather nutty request, one that will surely bring a smile to your face and a little warmth to your heart." And it goes on to say that for a small donation of $18.71, you can name a squirrel on the Old Main Lawn at the University of Arkansas. Wow, this is, this is interesting. Sydney, our producer, Sydney Mulvannon, she's going to talk with us here for just a second. I mean, you're a U of A grad just like I am. I mean, it's just kind of, this is kind of cringy.
It's just shameful.
I like, they've got these names on here. It says, your gift supports student scholarships, groundbreaking research, different. It says, and they give you some names that you can consider to name a squirrel. Squirrely McWhiskerface, Woo Squeak Suey, or Dave Van Acorn. I can't wait to get to baseball practice this afternoon and ask Dave if he knew they were going to use his NIL to name a squirrel
are
on the
really
Old Main
gonna,
Lawn.
Are you really going to ask him?
I might.
I think you should. I don't think he knows.
I'm not sure there's enough U of A alumni, by the way, to name all the squirrels on the Old Main Lawn. Those things are everywhere.
I don't think there's that many squirrels to name. You could be naming the same squirrel 5 times, and you'd have no idea.
Yeah, I said they missed an opportunity here for Houston's Nut. That would have been a good name for a squirrel if they're trying to tie it into some athletic people.
Or Sam Tailman, you know.
Yeah. They've got a note here. It says, you can name as many squirrels as you want and send certificates as gifts to fellow alumni, friends, and family for birthdays, holidays, or, and this one was fun, name a squirrel for your sweetheart on Valentine's Day. Do you know how this would go over if I went home and I said, hey, Ash, I named a squirrel after you on the Old Main Lawn?
I don't know if she'd be thrilled.
I don't think so.
I mean, think about it. If someone named a dolphin after their loved one, yeah, that's special. But a squirrel?
Especially these squirrels. Everybody, if you've ever been to the U of A, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody hates the squirrels on the Old Main Lawn. So this is everybody's trying to get their cut, and here's another way. If you want to do this, you can go to fundraiser.uark.edu and find the name a squirrel of Old Main Lawn campaign. This is something.
You know, I might go do that this afternoon with our other producer, Diana.
Have fun. Let me know. Like if you name a squirrel, come back Monday and let us know what you named the squirrel.
I will.
All right. We're going to move on now. Bubba Carpenter, former Razorback great. He joined us at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club yesterday. Bubba obviously played Major League Baseball. He's been kind of hard to believe, as he's on his 8th year as the color analyst for the Razorback baseball broadcasts on the Razorback Sports Network. And Bubba, if you don't know, is also a member of our podcast team here during the spring. He will be with us beginning February 10th, two times a week, to talk Razorback baseball on Mondays and Thursdays. So we can't wait for Bubba to get in studio with us. But yesterday we had him at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club, and like we always do at our HI Sports Club, he and I had a Q&A at the end of the luncheon, and we're going to play that for you now in two parts. Here's Bubba Carpenter at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. I'm glad Bubba's here because I get to wear a hat. I texted him this morning. I said, "Are you wearing a hat today?" And he called me, and I said, "I feel like a teenage girl coordinating my outfit with you." But here we are. I don't have any notes because Bubba and I, we a lot of times sit around and just talk. And I think that's what we're going to do today. You know, one of my favorite things about covering the team has been getting to know Bubba. I mean, he really knows his stuff. And I think, you know, you talk about how easy it is for you on the radio. People don't understand how much you prepare. You come into our podcast, and I mean, we've got a desk, and he has paper spread all across the desk. Oh, let me look at this. Here's the box score from 2021 when we played, and here's the splits against right-handers. You really you go into depth in your preparation.
Well, because I love doing it, I really do. I've kind of got a little bit of a curse. I don't know if it's a gift or a curse, but I can watch a baseball game, and I can pretty much tell you every pitch thrown that game and everything that happens in that game. But when it comes to, you know, preparation for the podcast, I want to know, yeah, I mean, I want to be organized, and Crystal probably wishes I was more organized like that at home. But, you know, in the baseball side of it, I like to keep all my ducks in a row and know and be able to, I guess, better illustrate what we're trying to talk about when we're talking about Razorback baseball.
I feel like whenever you're on the radio, it almost feels like you're just coaching. You know, good coaches are good communicators, and I don't think you would have had the career that you've had in coaching if you can't communicate to the players, and it feels like you just kind of carry that over into the game broadcasts.
Well, I'm fortunate enough to where the Razorbacks are great. I mean, I get to talk about Razorback baseball and talk about what I see. Now, I will tell you the one challenge is taking my baseball vocabulary that I've had my whole life. Some of it I can't use on the air. I'm not going to say any of it now, but Chip's probably getting a little nervous over there. But there's a certain way you describe a pitch. If there's a pitch right down the middle, there's a certain way to describe it, but it's off limits.
It's colorful.
there's several things, but no, I enjoy doing it, and you know, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm with Phil Elson, and you guys that have listened to the broadcast, Phil's the best. So he makes my job real easy.
And you think about, so 2018 was your first year, and I call basically 2018 to now, and we'll see how long this goes, but I call it the golden era of Arkansas baseball. 2018, they're a national runner-up, could have easily won the championship. 2019, they're back in Omaha. 2020, the season got canceled, but 2021, they're the number one overall seed. 2022, the only time that they're not a national seed, they're the third team standing in Omaha. Last 2 years, a national seed, the postseason didn't go the way they wanted to. But, I mean, that's a heck of a run that you've had to call games.
Oh, I came on at the perfect time. And you know what's funny? I know you've heard the story. I almost didn't do the radio. You know, I talk a little bit about Norm DeBrine right there. I got asked a couple times to do the broadcast, and at that time I had a lot going on. There's so much, and you know, I actually have what I typed out, and I was going to email David Shoemaker back at the time and Norm DeBrine and tell him I couldn't do it. And I saw we had a calendar sitting on the table on the counter. Remember the calendar? It had the picture of Baum Walker completely sold out, and you know, I saw that, and I'm like, you know, I've got to do it. And then when Coach DeBrine asked me to do it, I mean, it's hard to tell him no.
All right, so if you've never listened to our podcast, we just sit around and talk about baseball, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the team. Bubba and I, were you out there all 3 days last weekend?
Two.
I was. You're two.
Sunday was cold. I knew you'd be out there for me.
I was there. So we watched baseball last weekend. You know, they've got scrimmages coming up tomorrow, weather permitting. They'll be out on the field again. We're just going to kind of talk about the team and what we think about the team this year. And I think, you know, we'll start with pitching. It's weird because it feels like every year, Bubba, we talk about this is the deepest pitching staff Arkansas has ever had.
Right.
And I feel like it's that way again this year. And, you know, some people will probably push back on that and say, well, you know, they weren't very deep at the end of last year. But, you know, sometimes it's all about the injuries that you have. And you look at the pitchers who got injured last year, and all of a sudden guys that you're expecting 15 to 20 innings from cumulatively on the weekend, they're not there. And you're trying to get those innings in the biggest games of the year from the back of the bullpen. But that staff was deep. I think the fact that they even got to where they got to, like winning the SEC West, I think it shows you how deep they were as a pitching staff. But this year, it feels like they've got a lot of arms. And the thing that stands out to me is the number of innings that these guys have pitched throughout their career. It's like 47% of Arkansas's innings from last year is back. And that's not even counting these two left-handers that they brought in who, you know, they probably threw 80-plus innings apiece last year at their old schools. You don't see pitching staffs that are this veteran in college baseball very often.
Well, I think we're at a great time. It's crazy to think we lost the best lefty, the best pitcher in the country last year, and possibly the best lefty.
Probably the best starting pitcher Arkansas's ever had.
Yeah, I think so. Hagen Smith. I mean, the guy was incredible. I mean, it was amazing watching him pitch. You know, it's crazy to think we lost Hagen, and then we're going to be better this year. I mean, we've got the depth this year. You know, we brought in DVH and his staff. They do a great job. I mean, and I don't know if you guys understand how hard it is in today's game to get the right players on campus. But they do a phenomenal job of not just bringing talented players in. They bring guys that buy into the system. And it goes back to what I said about playing for the name on the front of your jersey. Dave's able to take these guys and teach them what I call, you hear me talk about Razorback baseball all the time, Razorback baseball, believing in the name on the front of the jersey. And if you can get a group of talented players to buy into that, sky's the limit. And Dave does a masterful job of it. But
you can have a talented roster, and if they don't play well together, they're not going to – look what's happened with basketball right now. I mean, is there a better – maybe there's some better rosters in the country, but there's not a whole lot better. But you know, if they don't play well together, it like the Yankees would have won 25 World Series in the last 30 years if talent alone was all that dictated who won and who lost. And it's about how they feel about each other. And I think you make a good point that the ability to bring players in who are going to, you know, get to know each other and build camaraderie with each other, that's such an underrated aspect of, you know, baseball in particular. Because there's only so much you can do once you get to the season. So much of the groundwork of who wins and who loses is done in those days in September and October. And if you don't do it right then, there's probably not a lot you can do right once the season, you know, begins.
Oh, you're right. And, you know, if you go to a practice and you watch a Dave Van Horn practice, like most of the head coaches in the SEC, I mean, you've been around. They're not out there. They're not hands-on. I mean, Dave Van Horn is out there on the field working with the infielders. I mean, he's constantly engaged with the team, where I don't see other managers do that or head coaches. But it's incredible how hands-on he is and how he, you know, like I said, he gets guys to buy into our system early on. And, you know, it's incredible. You know, and I don't know if y'all are ever on Twitter. I try. Sometimes I get disgusted with Twitter. I love Razorback fans, but man, sometimes it's hard. You know, there was something the other day. Dave Van Horn, they showed a picture of him in the New Jersey. And, you know, I just posted goat next to it. Or actually, it was probably 20 goats. I don't know. It was a bunch of goats. But I wanted to get my point across. He's the best. You know, and someone replied back, oh, you're not a goat until you win a national championship. We've won the SEC West, or at least a share of it, 5 out of the last 6 years. That's incredible. It's unbelievable. I mean, the SEC West, best conference in all of baseball. I mean, SEC, best baseball. You know, so for someone to say that, I'm not one of those that says you've got to win a national championship to be the best. I think Dave Van Horn is the best coach. I think he's got the best staff with him in the nation. I think from the top to the bottom, I mean, everything that they do, the way they run their program, it's like a professional baseball organization.
And I feel like if you put yourself, you know, with the type of players they're bringing in every year, you put yourself in position enough, at some point you're going to break through and be able to win that last one.
I think so. And, you know, people don't realize how hard it is to win the last game of the season. I mean, we've had teams that were dominant all year, but you got to have a lot of things go your way. I remember Ole Miss won a few years ago, and they're the last team in the tournament, you know. And I can't remember. It might have been you. I think you asked me on a podcast last year, would you trade a national championship for four years of irrelevance? Mm-hmm. And I said, absolutely not. I said, I want that national championship. I know DVH wants it. I want it for him. He deserves it. But Ole Miss won, and then for 3 years, what, they didn't make the conference tournament, I don't think. Mississippi State won it. Next year, they're worst team in the conference. I mean, I wouldn't trade what we have here at University of Arkansas. I think we got the best facilities, the best fans, I think the best staff, and we bring in the best players. Now we just got to get it to all come together. And I tell you, Matt, I feel really good about this team. There's something special about this group of players.
I hope you're enjoying our conversation with Bubba Carpenter. We'll continue it in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you're enjoying our conversation with Bubba Carpenter. We'll get back to it in just a second. We want to tell you that Logan Forsyth is going to be at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club next Thursday. That's February 6th. That's at Home 2 Suites in Springdale. It'll start at noon. You can reserve your seat now at OzarksTix.com, OzarksTix.com. For Logan Forsyth, the former Razorback baseball player, former Major League Baseball player at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. You can also purchase a ticket for Courtney Dyfel. She, the Arkansas softball coach, will be with us on Wednesday, February 26th at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. Again, all tickets can be purchased at OzarksTix.com, OzarksTix.com. Now back to our conversation with Bubba Carpenter at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. I think it's a good looking lineup. You know, some of these publications, they love their anonymous coach quotes, and D1 Baseball had anonymous coach quotes the other day about Arkansas, and it was something along the lines, Christina, help me if I remember this wrong, but basically they nobody else recruits like these guys do. Right. And then they talked about, you know, pitching and defense, and they said they make you beat them. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. You like to talk about hitting. And there's a lot of talk this year about Arkansas going to have a new type of offensive approach. We've heard Dave talk about it. They went out, they recruited more athletes. They want to be faster on the bases. They want to be able to manufacture runs. They don't want to rely on the deep ball. And just kind of, you know, explain what you've seen from them from an offensive standpoint. And then, you know, you and I have talked too that I feel like sometimes when people hear we're going to run more, they think you're going to turn into Kansas State and swipe 160 bags a year. I don't think it's that kind of baseball, but I do think it's going to be a more aggressive-looking team than we've seen in the past.
Okay, you got me started talking about hitting. How much time you got? Okay, so when it comes to the offense, you know, the type of player, you know, I think you lose a couple of regionals at home. I think you look in the mirror and you're like, okay, it's time to change things up a little bit. Not that we haven't had great players in the past, but I think the conversations were had and it's like, okay, it's time to do something different. I think we brought in a different type of player this year. I think we're faster. We're more athletic. I mean, we're strong. I think we're going to be able to beat you in more ways. I don't know if you have me piped in to the press room during the games. I'm one of those. You can watch a baseball game, a 9-inning game, and you can pick out 50 negative things. You can pick out 50 positive things. I choose to pick out the 50 positive things. But with that being said, when we hit a leadoff triple And next guy strikes out. Next guy pops up. Next guy grounds out. We don't score him. My fun meter gets really low. So I don't think you're going to see that this year. I think we're going to find a way to get that runner in, whether it's just a simple ground ball to the right side. Maybe it's a safety squeeze. Maybe it's a sac fly. A leadoff double. We're going to get that runner over. I think we're going to put pressure on a team. You know, first to third is something people don't talk about a lot. I know when I was with the Rockies, Buddy Bell's big thing was going first to third. Because a lot of times you get that base hit to the outfield. If you're at first base, you just kind of jog and coast in the second. We're going first to third. And our goal is to get to third base and make them put pressure on them. And then the pitchers, the opposing pitcher, if they see a guy, like say we're at second base, and I don't know if y'all know what a momentum lead is, but that's a lead to where you're kind of timing the pitcher. You're timing him, you know, whether he's a one-look guy, a two-look guy. Pitchers aren't I don't want to make anyone mad here, but pitchers are easy to figure out. Hitters are a little more complicated. But pitchers are easy to figure out. So if you're a one-look guy, that's just like a two-look guy. You know when he's going to the plate. And when you start to put a little pressure on him and time him up, next thing you know, he's rushing to get to the plate, leaves a pitch up, bam, you crush it. Little things like that, I think, is what – you know, Nate and Dave and the staff, Bobby and Clay and all them, I think that's what they're trying to do this year, is put more pressure on the defense. And I think it's going to be a fun team to watch play.
And you saw it in practice too. You know, a lot of times in the fall, they'll just get out there and they scrimmage. It's every day, it's just a scrimmage day. Well, it's different this last year. I mean, they were starting off practices with running drills and right. dirt ball reads. And it's just a different feeling over there around, you know, what they're trying to accomplish.
You know, and dirt ball reads, people probably think I'm crazy if you listen to the radio. I get pumped up about a dirt ball read. That's just the guy on first base is reading the pitch out of the pitcher's hands. He knows, and you got a split second, but he knows before that ball gets to the plate, it's going to be in the dirt. So he's taking second base. If you can do that several times throughout the year, then all of a sudden there's not a chance of a double play. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just opens up the doors to everything. Just being able to take the value of one base. I mean, SEC pitchers are really good. They're really, really good these days with all the technology and everything. But the value of just one base is huge. And I think you're going to see us taking that one base. And that one base might be the difference in a game.
So in 2 weeks, I'm going to go up to Kansas City. Jeff King's getting inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame. He's the first person with affiliation to the Razorbacks who's ever been inducted to the College Hall of Fame. And he was kind of your – like in some ways kind of your childhood hero, a reason you played for the right. Razorbacks, right?
Yeah, got to go watch a Razorback game and watch him hit one up on the deck of the old Hyper building. I don't know if y'all remember that, but crushed it. And the thing that I remember about Jeff King, and I think to me it's awesome, is after a bad game, he would pull the turtle back out, the batting tunnel, and take BP on the field after a game, if he had a game that he wasn't satisfied with. I mean, it's just that work ethic, and that's contagious. And I see a little bit of that in this year's team. But, yeah, Jeff King was incredible. But, yeah, watching him play that first time, I knew where I wanted to be.
In this baseball preview that we've got coming out, we've got a Q&A with Phil Elson. He's celebrating 10 years since he got into the baseball booth this year. And I'm going to ask you two of the questions I ask him. First one, what is your favorite away ballpark that you've gone to covering Arkansas?
That's guy, well, it's no-brainer, Charles Schwab Field.
Take Omaha out of the equation. And I know you don't go on the road as much, but you've been to some.
Well, it'd be Globe Life is my next. I mean, it's beautiful, an incredible ballpark. But, you know, I don't want to take Charles Schwab out. Can I leave it in?
You can leave it in. Yeah. No, it's a good one. And then what's your favorite game you've called?
Favorite game. I think the Charlie Welch home run.
It's a good one.
Against Florida.
Against Florida, or Nebraska?
No, against Nebraska. Yeah. Wait, sorry. I got my games messed up.
Because he had a walk-off hit to beat Florida and win the SEC, but then couple of weeks later is when they beat Nebraska in the regional.
The home run. Were you guys at that game? That's the loudest I've ever heard Baumwalker. It was incredible. I had goosebumps. I couldn't hardly talk. It was awesome. So I think I even interrupted Phil when he hit it. I'm like, I don't even know what I said. I might have said something I wasn't supposed to, but yeah, I know I blurted something out.
Do you ever have to catch yourself, you know, not interrupting? Like when Auburn got the kick six against Alabama in football, whoever their engineer was had the presence of mind to turn down the analyst because he's going crazy. And if they would have kept his mic turned on, it would have ruined Rod Bramblett's great call of that touchdown that beat Alabama. I mean, do you ever find yourself having to, like, hey, I need to shut up and lay out here?
Yeah, there was one home run. Heston Kerstad hit a home run one day, and I think I said, holy, and I don't think it came out, but – I mean, it was unbelievable. And then there's been other times. There was a – Auburn has a pitcher named something Crotchfelt. And
Zach.
There, what?
Zach Crotchfelt.
Yeah.
I know where you're going with those.
You know, it's hard. It's hard, guys. You know, I guess I'm a little childish sometimes. I need to grow up. But, you know, guys got a name like Crotchfelt. So me and Phil are going back and forth, seeing who can make each other laugh. And finally – Phil said something, you know, the guy threw a pitch and he goes, boy, there's a lot of fuzz on that pitch. And I lost it. I fell over in my chair and I couldn't talk for 10 minutes. So, sorry, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have gone there. But anyway, we have a good time on the air. That probably had nothing to do with what you just asked me. But anyway, you're talking about favorite
moments. This is what happens when you give Bubba an open mic. Hey, finally, let's end with this. Take us kind of like behind the scenes on a game day when you're on the radio. What does that day look like for you?
Okay, my favorite part is I have fun on the radio. My favorite part is before the game. You know, people ask me all the time, do you miss playing baseball? And yeah, I miss the competition, but I love everything that goes on before the game. I love the scouting report meeting, which they changed the time on it, so I don't get to do the scouting report meeting anymore. But just the, you know, watching Nate talk to the guys and Bobby talk to the guys out on the field during batting practice, getting ready for that day's starter, how they approach batting practice, getting to talk to the guys. And you can usually tell who's really locked in or who's kind of, you know, not with it that day. Mm-hmm. But all of those things leading up to the game is my best part about it, just the analytics. And, you know, I get the numbers on, you know, whoever the starter is, you know, what his go-to pitch is in certain situations. So I know a lot of that going in, but those are the things. And really just being around the guys out on the field before the game. And you guys probably don't realize all the preparation. It's just like you guys with basketball, how much time you guys spend before the game. And, you know, people show up for the game and they're like, oh, it's game time. They don't realize y'all have probably been there forever, either the night before or early that day, shooting and getting ready for the game. That's how these Razorbacks are. For a night game, they're at the field, you know, 5 hours before the game, 6 hours before the game, going over scouting reports, eating and doing all that. And so being a little, having a little part of that is really cool to me.
Appreciate you being here.
Enjoyed it. Hey, I appreciate you guys coming out.
Bubba Carpenter, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bubba Carpenter. Can't wait for him to get in here in our studio, and we talk Razorback baseball a couple of times a week, beginning in a couple of weeks. Speaking of Razorback baseball, they are going to be back on the practice field this afternoon. 2:30 will be the first pitch for their scrimmage at Baumwalker Stadium. As long as the weather's good, anybody can come out and watch the baseball team. They'll also scrimmage on Saturday and Sunday. Haven't been given a time yet for those scrimmages, but typically like early afternoon is when you can find the baseball team out at Baumwalker Stadium. And we'll have coverage of those scrimmages at our website, wholehogsports.com, throughout the weekend. Mentioned earlier, gymnastics, track and field, obviously men's basketball. Women's basketball, who just beat Texas A&M last night by 21 points. Izzy Hickenbottom with another big game for the women. You can read about all those sports at our website, wholehogsports.com, today and throughout the weekend. Hope that we'll see you there. And if not, we'll see you back here on Monday for our next podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone.